Radio Prague News.
A government minister states that he intends to push for discussions on the possible impeachment of the Czech president, Václav Klaus. A series of votes across the Czech Republic by regional assemblies of the Civic Democratic Party strengthen the position of the incumbent party leader Mirek Topolánek, and the Czech government has revealed a list of priorities as well as a motto for its impending presidency of the European Union. The Green Party Education Minister Ondřej Liška has stated that he intends to push for a discussion on the possible impeachment of the Czech President Václav Klaus. The comments were made in an interview with the Daily Pravo, in which Liška stated that he does not consider Mr. Klaus to be his president, and that if impeachment proceedings were seriously discussed, he would be, quote, at the front of the line. The Education Minister criticized the Czech President for his activities opposing the Lisbon Treaty, which Mr. Liška stated were far beyond the purview of the role assigned to Mr. Klaus as an apolitical president. Under Czech law, the president can only be removed from office for treason or if he or she is unable to carry out their function. Commenting on the difficulty of removing the Czech president from his post, Mr. Liška stated that at the point when the head of state starts actively undermining the foreign policy of the government he is supposed to represent, then a serious discussion about impeachment must be undertaken. Most Green Party members have long opposed the Czech president, in particular for his controversial views on man-made climate change. A series of votes across the Czech Republic by regional assemblies of the Civic Democratic Party appear to be strengthening the position of the incumbent party leader Mirek Topolánek. The votes are taking place ahead of the Civic Democrat Party conference to be held in a week's time, when Prague Mayor Pavel Bem will challenge Mr. Topolánek for the leadership of the party. Despite the continuing struggles within the Civic Democrats, both opinion polls as well as the results from the regional votes appear to suggest that Mr. Bem will have a hard time ousting his incumbent colleague. So far, Mr. Topolánek has been endorsed by 6 regional assemblies, while his opponent has yet to gain a single region-wide endorsement. However, the Prague Assembly is widely expected to endorse Mr. Bem, where the challenger serves as the city's mayor. So far, 9 of 14 such votes have taken place, with Mr. Topolánek winning endorsements from party members in the Pardubice, Zlín, Plzeň, Olomouc, Jihlava and Southern Moravia regions. Another 3 regions have voted to endorse neither candidate. The Czech government has revealed a list of priorities as well as a motto for its impending presidency of the European Union, which begins on the 1st of January. Its motto for the presidency will be Europe without barriers, while plans include an emphasis on increased free trade, sustainable energy development, a lowering of EU-wide carbon dioxide emissions, and continued discussions about Croatia's potential EU entry. Other priorities include dealing with the contentious issue of the Lisbon Treaty on a European level, the setting up of an EU conference on human rights in Cuba, and efforts to gain the attendance of the then-president Barack Obama at an informal EU summit next spring, though the latter goal may be complicated by the president's attendance at a different summit in London at the same time. The Czech government is reportedly spending more than 3 billion crowns in preparations for its 6-month term at the head of the European Union. A top advisor to the Czech President, Václav Klaus, has stated that he believes that Mr. Klaus should take the matter of the Lisbon Treaty to court himself. Mr. Jakl also stated that he believes that the EU document, if approved, would signal the end of the Czech Republic as a sovereign country, a similar view to that of the Czech President. It is unclear whether Mr. Klaus will heed the advice and take the issue to the Constitutional Court, but in a Czech media interview, Mr. Jakl stated that he hopes that others will join the President in an effort to, as he put it, save the sovereignty of the country. And now a quick look at the weather. Cloudy skies continue across the Czech Republic, with slightly more favourable temperatures of around 6 degrees Celsius. Next week should see clearer skies, but also lower temperatures. I'm Dominic Yoon, and that's the news for now.
Hello, this is Radio Prague and I'm Ian Willoughby. Welcome to the programme. Today, your correspondence read and replied to in this week's mailbox. After that, Jan Richter is with us with Letter from Prague, and that's followed by Music Profile, which this time out focuses on the Czech rock band Lucia. So do stay with us for that. But first, here's Pavla Hrakova with this Sunday's edition of Mailbox.
You are tuned to Mailbox, Radio Prague's letters program. 2 weeks ago on Mailbox, we spoke about an unusual bus shelter in England. It bears a plaque saying it was donated by Czechoslovak President Edvard Beneš to thank the people of Aston Abbots and Wingrave for their hospitality whilst he and his cabinet were in exile there during World War II. We were told about it by our long-time listener David Eldridge, who also kindly sent us photos of the bus shelter. This week, another listener, Alistair Pamphilon, also from the United Kingdom, sent us an email referring to the Czech presence in England during World War II.
Since living in Royal Leamington Spa, Warwickshire in the UK for over a year now, I would love to share some information I've learned upon the wartime Czechoslovak government in exile in this beautiful Regency-style town upon the River Leam.
Mr. Pamphilon goes on to quote from the book Royal Leamington Spa by Lyndon F. Cave.
Housing schemes were halted during the last war when the town again became drastically overcrowded, accommodating many troops. These included members of Czech armies in exile. The Czechoslovak government in exile occupied part of the Compton-Verney estate and its fine house not far from Leamington, while the officers were billeted in the town itself. A fountain in Jefferson Gardens, erected in 1968, now commemorates their stay in the town. It is a tribute to all Czechoslovak soldiers, airmen, and patriots who fell in World War II. From Leamington Spa in 1941, volunteers from the Free Czechoslovak Forces stationed in the town were parachuted into their homeland to rid it of the tyrant protector SS General Heydrich. Two of them, Jan Kubiš and Josef Gabčík, accomplished their mission in May 1942. They and their companions laid down their lives for freedom.
A quote sent by Alistair Pamphilon from the United Kingdom, who adds that the account was so powerful to read that he would love to know if Radio Prague could tell him more about the soldiers stationed there, and any further information upon Jan Kubiš and Josef Gabčík would be most appreciated. First of all, thank you very much for sharing that information with us. While the town of Leamington Spa was only mentioned briefly on Radio Prague, reports on the Czechoslovak paratroopers do appear regularly. This year we reported on the unveiling of the first monument to the paratroopers on the actual site of the assassination. And archive footage from the time of the assassination was featured in a March edition of From the Archives. A year ago in Czech Books, David Vaughan talked to Jiří Šulc, the author of the book Two Against the Reich, which tells the story of Jan Kubiš and Josef Gabčík, two of the Czechoslovak patriots parachuted to occupy Bohemia and Moravia from England with a mission to assassinate Reinhard Heydrich. All the links to the stories can be found in the transcript of this Mailbox program on our website. Now on to a rather lighter topic. Last week's magazine, the show that starts where the news ends, featured a story about Czech supermodel Karolina Kurková's belly button, or the lack thereof, to be precise. Somebody noticed during a fashion show that she just had a shallow indentation where her navel should be, even though, for example, the BBC reports that sometimes a tummy button is airbrushed onto her photos in post-production. Ms. Kurková's representative was quoted as saying that Karolina underwent an operation when she was an infant. It was not specified what kind of operation it was, but apparently smooth navels can be the result of surgery to correct various abdominal problems, for example, umbilical hernia. However, David Broukley, who lives in the Czech Republic, read the story in last week's magazine on Radio Prague, and this is his response.
Give me a break. Of course Karolina Kurková has a belly button. Just because someone photoshopped it doesn't mean she doesn't have one. Look at her website. Plenty of belly button there. Please report responsibly. It's your job. Rumors, hearsay and innuendo are not the job of a responsible news organization.
Please let us know what you think about Radio Prague's reporting. All comments and opinions are appreciated. The address is Radio Prague 12099 Prague or English at radio.cz. Also, today is the deadline for you to send us the answer to November's competition question. You still have until midnight to click the send button answering this simple question. which Czech composer came to be known as Il Divino Boemo, or the Divine Bohemian. Next week you will find out the name of the mystery person, as well as the names of the four listeners who will receive small gifts from Radio Prague. Please tune in again next Sunday if you can, and until then, take care.
Thank you, Pavla Horáková. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. And we're joined now by Jan Richter, who has this week's letter from Prague.
Czechs seem to be really worried about their healthcare and the government's plans to reform it. These plans, which among other things include fees for visits to the doctors, emergency wards and prescriptions, might have even cost the ruling coalition the recent regional elections. Most people are apparently happy with the way things are now, and have been since the state nationalized all medical care. Well, for one, I am not. In the 1970s, Czechs fell for a hospital TV series called Nemocnice na kraji města, or Hospital on the Edge of Town. The show's most popular character, Dr. Strossmayer, was famous for patronizing his patients whenever they disagreed with him, ridiculing and humiliating them. Whenever an unlucky patient requested an explanation or questioned a treatment's necessity, the rude medic completely lost it. The patients who suffered at the hands of the ill-tempered doctor were portrayed as dumb, annoying and irritating, and so the viewers inevitably sided with the rude doctor. Amusing as it may be, doctors' attitudes to patients are taking a long time to change. Last year I had to go to hospital with appendicitis. When I arrived in the emergency unit on a Saturday night, I was unlucky to meet one of those old-school doctors who went into great lengths to tell me off for everything I had or had not done. Then, after the standard operation, I bothered the doctors because I wanted to be released. Most of them were nice, but treated me like a mental patient. Just one of them, the youngest, was actually willing to talk to me. Our cat Bob, on the other hand, came down recently with some strange disease and had to be taken to an animal hospital for testing and spend the night there. The care was and will be expensive, which is probably what made all the difference. The staff were friendly and the doctor talked us through every step of the way. This is, I suppose, because it's their clients who pay their bills and not insurance companies who, in the equivalent system for us people, redistribute the money collected as monthly health insurance payments. When you put aside the $1.50 charge for seeing your doctor and less than $5 for a visit to the emergency, the government says the reforms are trying to repair the doctor-patient relationship. Patients should really become clients, and doctors should become their aides instead of the snotty know-it-alls they often are, like the doctor who attended to my appendix at the emergency. But to be fair, I have to mention my encounter with soon-to-be-reformed US healthcare system. During my trip, I went swimming a lot in rivers and lakes, which got me a nice ear infection. After a couple of days, my right ear was in lots of pain, so I went to see a doctor. I must have been the first alien to have wandered into the medical center in that small town in Iowa, as the staff was completely baffled by me not having a social security number. I said I would pay in cash, since I could be reimbursed from my insurance when I come back, so they hesitatingly agreed to treat me, for free. The result was that a doctor examined my ear, told me to wash it properly, and said he couldn't do anything more about it. 2 weeks later in Prague, it was fixed by antibiotics my doctor gave me. It cost 60 crowns.
And this week's letter from Prague was by Jan Richter. Now let's rock. In the final part of our show today, Jan Velinger introduces us to the Czech band Lucia in this month's edition of Music Profile. Sex je náš. Dělá dobře mě i tobě, oče náš, baby oříkej až v hrobě.
In this edition of Music Profile, we look back at one of the most successful Czech bands of the 1990s, the rock group Lucia. Founded by singer-guitarist Robert Godem together with bass guitarist Petr Chovanec, also known as PBCH or PBK, Lucia's success was unrivaled, with the band filling stadiums like no other in the years following the Velvet Revolution. From the early 90s up until 2002, the band was incredibly productive, releasing 7 studio, 2 live, and 1 best-of albums. Their songs remain instantly recognizable to most Czech listeners and still get tons of radio play. Of course, like with most bands, the group's beginnings were modest, and it took a number of years from the band's founding in 86 for the group to gel in a more or less final lineup. By the late 80s, keyboardist Michal Dvořák and singer-drummer David Koller had joined the band, which slowly but surely began to take shape. Koller brought distinctive and clean vocals that would define most of the group's hits, but at first the musician was reportedly not all that enthusiastic about singing. But he finally agreed. The band recorded what was to become the first single, Bar Figlu, A Few Tricks. It was later renamed Šroby do hlavy, which means screws in the head.
Vstoupil mezi nás a já to vím, tak co teď s tím si vrátit čas.
A tour was planned by the group for the autumn of 1989, but it was called off during the strikes and protests that became the Velvet Revolution, which brought to an end more than 40 years of communism in Czechoslovakia. Band members themselves took part in the protests in the early days. The song Už se nechcem nikdy vracet, also known as Oheň, is still remembered as one of the band's early main anthems. Už se nechcem nikdy vracet means we never want to go back. And the song's lyrics are full of hope for a new future, but also biting criticism. David Koller sings, Já se těším a vím, že určitě ne sám. Už se nebudeme nikdy vracet. I'm excited and I'm sure I'm not alone. We'll never go back. Judge for yourself the song's immense energy and drive. The fall of communism brought new opportunities, and Lucia were well on their way. The period of the 90s described by members in the band as one of the group's most productive. Lucia released its first album in the fall of 1990, and 100,000 copies were printed. The band kicked off a massive new tour taped by Czechoslovak television. A second album called In the Sky soon followed, and although it was slightly less enthusiastically received by critics compared to their debut, it contained a number of hits that still get played in the clubs today. One was Černí Angele, Black Angels, Fast and Cool.
Sex mě dáš, dělá to ze mě i tobě, oči náš. Baby, odříkej až v hrobě. Předověk neskončil, předověk trvá. Jsme černí anděle, a ty jsi byla prvá.
konci křídel nevnímáš zbytky otrávených jídel. Středověk neskončil, středověk trvá. Jsme černí andělé, tak ty jsi byla prvá holka.
Another hit from the same album was Skamengeli Gike, Petrified Child. A little poppier, but very, very catchy. As Robert Godem sings, black metal is dead.
Skamengeli Gike, osmi ti praví tě, splašenej pliš, semišová myš, sněhobílý den, utržený nech, kandidát věd. Black metal is dead. A utajený půdy vytáhnou tě smudy, vycpanej lev a pije můj krev. Železniční pražce v odnesený tašce, praotec Čech a pytel plný blech.
Despite the band's success, the first cracks began to appear, and at one point members came to loggerheads. That spelt the end for the immediate future. Robert Godem and Bebe Cha had a rival project in the more hard rock-based Vanastoi Vietse, and David Koller also had other projects off the ground. Still, the band released a live album and reformed later to release what many consider the group's best CD, Černí kočky mokrý žáby, in 1994. Černí kočky mokrý žáby is easily the group's hardest hitting recording. Ona říká jo, she says yeah. The album also contained the soulful America, a ballad of sorts written for a film of the same name by director Vladimir Michalek. Lucie were at the pinnacle of the Czech music scene. Černí kočky mokrý žáby won 5 Czech Grammys. And the band soon enjoyed another milestone, opening for the greatest rock and roll band in the world, the Rolling Stones. Numerous albums followed, with the group continuing to top the charts well into the new millennium. Medvídek or Teddy Bear was one of their last hits of the 90s. The video for that song was actually banned by commercial broadcaster TV Nova for its implicit references to drugs and drug abuse, which that, of course, only increased the song's notoriety. In the song, the group sings about the teddy bear being used to smuggle drugs.
Dlouhá noc a mě se stýská moc, pro tebe malý dárek mám. Přes hory, přes ploty, medvídek z Bogoty, už letí.
In 2002, Lucia took an unspecified hiatus from which the group has not returned, although prominent members David Koller and Robert Godim have successfully followed separate musical careers. They may no longer be together, but Lucia left a huge mark on the 90s. It's impossible to look back at that period in the Czech Republic without appreciating their contribution to Czech rock music. The song Laura completes Music Profile this day.
And that edition of Music Profile by Jan Velinger brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. As ever, we welcome all of your comments, our email address, english@radio.cz, and the postal address, Vinohradska 12, Vinohradska 12, 12099 Prague 2. We hope you can join us again soon, but for now, for myself, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Cestu svítí.